Call the meeting to order of the Commerce, Gaming, Land Committee of Osage Nation, April the 5th, 2:45. My first order of business is the call order and roll call.
Speaker Fred? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Hamilton? Congressman Superdahl?
Here.
We're praying.
We're gonna say the prayer now.
Apakaha, yedaha, wanake, talikomba, kistoma, edakere, wanapikomba. Nonika, si, zikaja, paski, lakere, wanapikomba, ueka, beje. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day, and we want to ask you to have your presence here today as we make the important decisions for the Osage Nation. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the courage to do the right thing for our people. Bless those who are sick, mourning, and bless those who are maybe have lost a loved one lately, who have two deaths in Homley this weekend. So bless those families, comfort them, bless our military people where they may be serving, and the elders and the children, and all these things we ask in Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. Next item of business is a presentation by the firm Derivative Logic on behalf of the Osage Gaming Enterprise Board.
We're gonna approve minutes?
What?
Do we do approval of minutes already?
Approval of minutes.
I already reviewed them. I move to approve the minutes from April 13th as presented.
Second.
All right, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved for April 3rd. The next item of business is the presentation by the firm of Derivative Logic on behalf of the Osage Gaming Enterprise Board. Mark, we've got five chairs up here. If you want to sit whatever people you want up here and introduce the representative from Derivative Logic, I'll just turn it over to you.
Thank you.
Spin them around, Keggy.
If you want to go ahead and stick it in that draft, you can. Yeah. How long is the resolution? Yeah. It's just a couple of pages, isn't it?
This is Rex Evans. He's the one that's been working with us on this.
Yeah, it's still on the table.
Managing the rates. And so
you can do that.
Turn the meeting over.
I don't know
that
I'll lose it.
He's going to go do it.
Well, it's still on the table. But it was in a special. I withdrew completely. I have to refile.
So back in January, I had the pleasure of presenting to you this topic, derivatives, interest rate hedge, and even though we covered a lot of material, there were some questions that I think the entire group had. So we wanted to do the right thing at your request as well and bring in the expert that we hired actually back in January of 2017. Rex is definitely a specialist. He is what I would call a self-specialist. He's been dealing in these kinds of products for a very long time. He's been a banker basically his whole entire career. And he has worked with many tribes, as well as numerous commercial gaming and hospitality companies over the years. So I basically just wanted to turn over to him. I did send a couple PDFs, such as the one here, and another one that I'm going to have to ask Eli about when I step away, just in case we want to look through those. But more importantly, what we really want to do is just bring out onto the table those things, those questions and concerns that maybe you had back in January that possibly have continued through today, and we want to direct all that to Rex. Okay? So I'll let Rex, if you want to give us a small, just a background of yourself, and then you can post.
I think it was called the Capital Markets Area Bank on the trading floor. Started my career as a foreign currency trader, which meant I got to gamble with taxpayers' money. That's a lot of fun. And then from there, got involved in the interest rate world and how to mitigate interest rate risk. I was through the bank. Started the firm in 2006. Didn't like the direction, well, let's say the moral compass was being pushed. I like teaching, I like advising. And so that's how I got started. That's why I left, voluntarily. Love what I do. 99% of our philosophy is 99% education and 1% execution. So we're teachers and played out because every tribe, every commercial business has their own goals and objectives. And my job is to ask a lot of questions with Tim and those involved. The proposal, I guess everybody's seen the PDF that was out. I'm going to start by asking who has any questions, and what are some of the issues that have been brought up or concerns this Congress has, and I'll answer to the best of my ability.
Can you all hear me okay?
Right, you need to speak up.
We're all really loud in here.
Our acoustics are terrible.
I want to just start out by asking what are some of the concerns and or questions that you may have that were not brought up either in the presentation or was discussed afterwards. So I'm here to answer those questions.
Okay. Yeah. I'll start out.
Just recently, the executive office of the U.S. government has opened up this tariff issue with China and possibly other countries. Will that affect us here with what we're doing?
Yes.
How?
It depends on how the war gets escalated. It will probably cause more harm to the economy rather than, let's say, interest rates skyrocketing. But that could also affect higher interest rates. We really, really don't know. My role is not as a forecaster. Sometimes the presentations, I'll bring out a magic eight ball and have one of my clients wave the magic wand over and say, oh, okay, that's cool. It's based on the risk tolerance. So no matter as far as on the tariffs, what's expected down in the future as far as GDP, employment numbers, these are all important. But are decisions made on mitigating risk? Yeah, you do need to take those into account. And that's just a small part of the process.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Well, I got some questions that came from the first session we had, and that is, and I don't want to get you out of sequence. I don't know how your presentation. commission is arranged, but we were...
It's arranged by questions and questions.
We were interested in the risks involved, and at, we saw premiums, what I call premiums, for entering into interest rate swap, and what, at what point would the interest rates have to rise to break even on the premiums that we saw? I don't know what you call them, premiums or penalties or whatever.
We call them make whole.
Call them what?
Make whole payments, because the actual swap instrument can either have a positive market value or a negative market value. So if, let's say, the fixed rate is 2.50 and you want to terminate it after a year, but interest rates have gone up to 2.6, that instrument has a positive market value. It's worth money, and you can sell it back to the bank and receive that money. If rates are down to 2.40, you have to pay to get out of it. And it's all based on the market. It's not based on the bank. So that's, to answer your question on that, it's a separate contract, but it's tied to the credit facility.
Did you, are you prepared to tell us what the, how the rate has to reach to break even on the premium that you have to pay in order into a swap?
I pulled one of the, this slide that's got the, not that one, that one.
Right here?
Yeah. I'll go
up here.
Can you make that bigger?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go right here.
Okay.
Is it big enough? Perfect.
You touch the screen, it's
going to move. Okay. Keep This is the LIBOR futures contract, and it's traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. $1 trillion a day passes through this market. This is what the market expects LIBOR to do over the next 10 years. So $1 trillion a day. This is the swap rate, 2.68. So if you wanted to fix 90 days, September 2013, you'll fix it at 2.90. You float, come September 2023, you're locked in at 2.90 for 90 days, and then you're back floating. But if you were to buy every single one of those contracts and just did an arithmetic average of that, you're going to come up with 2.68. So what the market's saying is LIBOR is going to average 2.68 over 10 years. The 10-year Treasury note is trading about 280 right now. What the market's saying is if you buy the 90-day Treasury bill and roll it every 90 days, 10 years, you'll earn 2.80. But the market's always wrong.
However, it's important to understand these are the numbers today. Things can change tomorrow, anytime into the future. This is just today's snapshot, because that's all we have to go on.
Okay. This is the crystal ball.
That's
the only
right.
one we have. But it doesn't work all the time. So the question is, does the 268 plus the credit spread you're paying on the facility, does that work? Is that mitigating the risk?
And our credit spread right now at the leverage we're at is 1.25. Okay.
When's that leverage expected to?
The leverage should, there's only a couple quarters, three quarters, I believe, actually, that we will be over 1.50. Right now we're at the lowest because we've only drawn about $24 million down on the casino. That's all. We've basically done four draws at $6 million apiece, and then that's $24 million, obviously, and then the ranch loan is just a little bit under 50. So we're at $74 million. Our leverage is like 0.72, and then when it goes above 1, which it will, 1.00, we'll go up another quarter, and then it'll go just barely projected, barely above 1.50, and it'll go up another quarter. Our highest spread that I've calculated via projection is 1.75.
Okay.
And that's that's locked in. That's the way the table, the matrix reads, and the credit agreement, and that's very standard. And by the way, those are thin margins. Those are very thin margins for this amount of money.
One thing to keep in mind with derivative contracts such as swaps is it's a separate contract with the bank, completely separate, but it is tied to the loan. So let's throw up the $15 million example. We could have a swap contract for $25 million or for $35 million. And that's where Tim and I would work together as far as what's the appropriate balance in the mix of interest rates and also the staggering. So there's a lot of work kind of behind the scenes. There's no speculation. We don't speculate, and we don't allow clients to speculate. So no levered transactions on our end. Tim, you don't get to play around.
No. I think it's important to note, we would never swap, or let's say fix, all of this debt that we've talked about. Okay, I know I mentioned that to our board, because you can't, because we're paying that debt down. So you're never gonna lock in 100% of today, or when the casino's finally built, that's when the high point of our debt will be, that's when our leverage will go to the max, and then as we amortize and pay quarterly, it'll come down, of course. Which is something that we all knew was gonna be the case 2 years ago, even before we entered into the closing of the loan. But therefore, that being said, if you're going to put into an interest rate hedge, you're going to do something definitely lesser than what's outstanding. And that's just why Rex ballparked a number. His number, ironically, was the same number of $50 million that I used in my examples when I showed you spreadsheets the last time we met.
You can slice and dice it. That's the beauty of derivatives, is it's a separate contract from the loan, that they are tied together, and they're tied together through the ISDA.
And that's the whole purpose. We covered that the last time, and that's what's on the table, is the ISDA carries the same limited waiver of sovereign immunity that the credit agreement did, which obviously was granted. And that's the only reason it has to be revisited, because it's a separate, but it's tied. And that's also the same logic as to why we can only work with the 9 banks that we have in the syndication. And there's only 3 banks that are basically big enough to be able to offer these types of products.
So is there any possibility that when we reach the end of the term that our balance would be tied up in a swap agreement, and what does that do for the initial loan document? Is that a possibility or not?
Sure, that's why the timing and the term has to be assessed before any interest rate hedge product would be entered into. And you know, this is something that we talked about back when we looked at the financial model 2 years ago. We're going to, per the amortization schedule, have debt of, I'm gonna go back to the same numbers, of $115 million. But we're gonna have accumulated cash of, let's say, $95. What are we gonna do over time with that accumulated cash? Are we gonna pay down the debt? I don't know, and I know that Congress has its needs. We have projects we would like to do, certainly, at Osage Casinos. You know, improvements that we've all talked about in our board meetings and in your meetings. I don't know how that's going to play out. So what the amount of debt is going to be at maturity, which is June of 2021,
right?
I don't know, because I'm not the sole decision maker, obviously. So I want to do what everybody wants to do. If it's pay down more debt, if it's do the projects, fine. I'm on board with anything. But I'm sure there's a point in time, whether it's just the $20 million that I just described, or it's going to be more. Per the amortization schedules, That's the debt that we said we would have out if we only pay down the debt per the amortization schedules in that financial model.
Correct. I remember that.
Let me add to that is we can have this amortizing. It's not a fixed dollar amount, a notional amount. So the swap can be amortizing more aggressively than projections or write-out projections. This is totally customizable.
Which is a function of the agreement or the facility that the swap,
you in. It's three pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that describes the economic terms
mm-hmm.
that the Osage tribe agrees to make a fixed payment and in return receives LIBOR. At the same time, you're paying LIBOR plus a credit spread to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the two LIBORs cancel each other out. And you have a synthetic fixed rate money on that portion of your hedge. You also made a statement with regards to what happens if the loan gets prepaid,
mm-hmm.
and you still got the swap hanging out there.
Right, that was one of.
You can break that contract. Now, you may receive money or you may pay money.
You may break the swap agreement contract.
That's correct.
Or can you keep riding in that
if you don't have any debt, it's speculation. So if there's no debt out there, you gotta tear it up.
So we're gonna have to be indebted to continue on in this agreement.
If you don't want to do, you can still tear it up and pay off all your loans. And it may make financial sense to do that. But a typical fixed rate loan from a bank only has one way. You can tear up the loan or you can pay off the loan early, but you have a prepayment penalty involved. This is what we call bilateral. It can go both ways. And that's the flexibility of a swap versus of a bank, smaller bank facilities. So that's what I was trying to voice. Like it can be terminated at any time. That's paid off. I will force Tim to sell this one. Because then you're in a speculative position, and we don't want that to happen.
Okay. Well, okay. I was just wanting to know.
Let me ask you some more questions.
Sure.
Stay up.
I'll stay.
You're an expert in this, so can you explain this in layman's terms mm-hmm. as you apply it to the amount that we're going to hedge on? And maybe to simplify it for me, could you tell us what the risk is on the other side, the part that whoever's...
Well, it's $1 trillion a day at the market, so the risk on the other, there's banks converting fixed rate debt to floating, there's hedge funds, a lot of corporations will issue 20, 30 year bonds in a fixed rate, will want to synthetically convert that fixed rate bond to floating.
Why don't we do this to help answer that question, Tim? Why don't you address the risk we've already occurred because of the inaction 30 days ago? Show them that slide, and I think they'll understand there's not only risk of what happens five years from now.
One question, though, here is how many people have fixed rate mortgage? Home mortgage.
Shut down.
For now.
There's floating rate mortgages available. So how come you took a fixed rate?
Predictability.
Okay. Well, it's cheaper to float on the home loan. Anyway, that's a personal decision that was made.
So, I want to address what Mr. Rebar has raised, and I have a slide here. But I think, why don't we do this, Rex? I know you don't have the crystal ball, but why don't you just give a summation of what you think or the market expects the Federal Reserve to do with rates going forward, at least for this year?
That's the crystal ball.
Okay. But when they meet, Rex?
That's the crystal ball. That's what the market expects LIBOR to do over the next 10 years.
Okay. So you can see, we sit here today at this rate, okay? So there appears to be, at least over the short term, a pretty quick increase coming, okay?
It is flattening.
Right. And since the last time that we met, this goes back to slide number one, actually. Blow that back up. So, the analysis that Rex put together, his firm, was detailed on January 11th. We met, I actually came on the 18th and the 19th, I believe, just a week later. This 50 million was just, it was a very round number. I'm not saying that's our number, but that's the number I used back then, and I used again here for this analysis I put together for our board last week. Since that time, about over the course of the last 75 days, the rate in 1 month LIBOR, which this is our index in our credit agreement, it's went up 32.5 basis points here, or 32.5 one-hundredths of a percent. Okay? So I just took that increase using this call it principal amount of 50 million, and I just did the simple math on it over these durations of time. 3 months, because 3 months is about how long it's been, not quite 3 months, is a quarter of a year, so it's $40,000. 1 year is equal to $162,500, and then at 50 million, the same amount, of course, through maturity, just on 32.5 basis points, is $568,000. And then, Maria, kind of to your point, what if you don't pay off the debt? And I know we've had these conversations, that's why I put it in here. What if we don't pay the debt until 2 years past maturity? So that's obviously June, call it 30 of 2023. That's 5.5 years. It's $894,000. And then this footnote here, this just explains, this is what has happened and why the interest rate that's applicable to us, the 1 month LIBOR, has went up 32.5 basis points. Yeah, the Federal Reserve met on March 22nd, just a few weeks ago, and they raised it 25 basis points, which is reflected in that graph that Rex showed you. And then, and so we should say plus B, there's been an organic market-driven increase of 7.5 basis points. You know, the Federal Reserve doesn't really impact this. They do A. B is just the ways of the world. And that's what's happened, and that's what the driver has been. And that's why when we look at these things, that's why there's expected to be two more 25 basis point increases here in the next 12 months. That's why this is so steep. And then it levels out, as you see, here a couple years from now.
Something wrong with this chart, though. Even though it's $1 trillion a day, there's something funny or fishy about this chart. It's too perfect. Rich don't do that.
No. Yeah, what
gives you a clue that it's wrong?
Yeah. Well, it's right
at that moment in time when you took the snapshot.
And to Rex's point, this is, once again, this is 10 years we're looking forward. But back on these other slides, this is the same slide you saw back in January. You know, there was this spike here at Y2K, and then there was this crazy, and a lot of people talked about this. We all talked about this extensively, right? We didn't know that was going to happen. But the one that no one really talked too much about other than the housing bubble was this huge, huge, huge spike. And things went crazy. And then all of a sudden, we had an unprecedented 8 years right here of prime at 3.25.
This should have been up here, by the way, because there was no credit flowing to the banks. Mm-hmm. And Fed was nodding when Bank of America did not post 12% for your LIBOR rate. Otherwise, we're going to have a bit of a run here. So that was pretty much capped because there was no credit flowing through anyone. So,
I think the summation, in my opinion, here, and we're not here, I'm not here, and I'm talked to them and said, we don't need to sit here and ask for permission to do this financial decision. That's what y'all elected the board to do. So I don't look at it like, other than educating and trying to win everybody over to get people educated on this, whether we need to sit here and debate the merits of the decision to do it. It's a foregone foregone conclusion in my mind. We've already lost $500,000 by the last time we were here not doing it. So the risk, again, if we don't do it, is it's guaranteed it's going to go up. And if we want to be tied, I don't want to be tied to that decision. And it's sitting right there at $900,000. He mentioned the $74 million, and $50 million of that debt, the bricks in the backpack the casino is carrying is the ranch that everybody wanted. But we're carrying that debt, paying for it from the casino perspective. That's really tied our hands. So we have to be flexible enough to make these type of decisions and move quickly. Inaction by doing nothing or stalling for whatever political reasons has cost us that amount of money. That's already blood on our hands if we don't do something. And everybody thinks the rates are going to go up. So could we be wrong and hedge in some of this? We absolutely could be wrong. We may be right in making the decision and wrong in the amount we select. We may wish we did $75 million. But doing nothing is going to be horribly costly to us.
And we're always going to have a portion floating. We're always going to have that. And that's in essence why it becomes a hedge, because in most commercial loan situations, typically you do both. Because you float and you fix.
Another way of thinking of that is, if you're 50% floating and 50% fixed, you're neutral.
Right.
If the Fed raises rates by 25 basis points, your cost of funds goes up by 12.5 basis points. Yeah, so, but I think what the issue a lot, and I want to answer your question, is on the ISDA.
Need to sit and debate the merits of the financial decision. I think it comes down to the weight of the sovereign immunity, so we can move forward, so we don't keep losing money. It's pretty simple. Unless we don't understand that chart.
I have one question for you. So what's the amount we're going to use?
That's not official. And basically, the resolution, and I think that I sent over some modified language.
Mm-hmm.
That I tried my best. I'm not an attorney. You know, I didn't write the credit agreement, and I don't write the ISDA agreements. But the resolution is basically asking us to be able to move forward to finish negotiating the ISDA agreements and to be able to execute them, to have them in place, to be ready to be able to, select an interest rate hedge product. But everything will be examined, obviously pricing, the term, the product that's optimal. The amount, is it 50, is it 75, is it lesser? You know, I think, and I hope today is convincing enough that, you know, with Rex's support and input, knowing the markets the way he does, and us optimizing to Ms. Weinhorn's question of how much do you put in and how do you time it up with maturity, and do you go beyond? You know, that all has to become at the table, and then at the end of the day, what we've said in this language I was just handed, which is, what I put together and Kimberly forwarded over.
We're getting it stamped in right now, so okay. Members can have a copy of that.
Okay, wonderful. So is the last line of approval with myself working with Rex and Byron as well, is that our board comes in and says, okay, all right, we present then, we're gonna maybe take, here's three ways to hedge we think we should do. And then Chairman Simpson and the rest of the board members approve that. And then, of course, as we talked in the last meeting, there's a certificate, you know, depends on what product you enter into, but there's that, you know, hedge instrument certificate that I think you mentioned 3 pages a moment ago that is executed, and that's it. That's what gets signed off on. And at that point in time, you've made a commitment to swap, and you're doing that hybrid method that we're talking about instead of 100% floating.
And Dodd-Frank and all the banks, this has been around since 1972, and they won't trade unless we get it signed. No bank will trade. Unless that is signed. It's a separate contract, tied to the loan. Tied to the loan on the branch.
Tied to all the debt with the syndicate. The three tranches that are all part of one loan.
So it was kind of alluded to earlier by Mr. Steinke that it's really how we continue forward with what's in swap, what stays fixed, how fast we repay the debt. I just, since we have three board members here, I'd like to know if your intention is whatever we can earn on our, or whatever we can accumulate in our net revenue that's retained, is it your intention to pay the debt down? Is it your intention to fund bigger projects? Where do you want to go with it? I think that would be an important answer to get from the board, how you feel about it. Any of the board members, that would be my question.
I'd like to pay the debt down, but there are needs that come up as we go.
And I realize
that. So it's really hard to predict how quickly we're going to be able to pay this off.
Okay.
It would be my desire to pay it off quickly, but I don't think that hasn't historically happened, and I don't think it's going to be happening.
Oh, historically, we did really good on the last. No, we weren't in debt more than 13 months, and it was paid off. So that's been
much smaller debt.
Much smaller debt. But that's just been my experience, and it was a good, to me, a good thing.
Sure. Yeah.
To do. So.
A prudent thing to do, mm-hmm. And we will do that if we can. It's just been our experience that there are a lot of national needs as federal funding gets cut back. Things come up, so as you know, it's very hard to project into the future. We're just taking care of this debt in a prudent way so that we don't get stuck with these extra costs as the interest rates go up. We get stuck.
Yes. We want to, in my opinion, I want to not only pay down the debt, but give the nation, the Osage Nation, more money. But we got to do something to save money. And we got to, as you all well know, we have cut our expenses down to the bare minimum. I mean, there's not much more to cut down. I mean, me and Byron and the staff has gone through each department to get more money. And as you guys see, we were able to give you extra money during those times. When we took over that debt on the land, you know, the agreement was made that it's not under a mortgage. It's strictly our debt. And this is what, so if everything went wrong, the land is still the Mason's. But on ours, we got to protect the casino from throwing out so much money that it hurts. And that's what we got to keep in mind. In order to make money, we got to cover ourselves before we can go ahead and spend on special projects. One of them is the brewery that we're going to throw into the Osage Nation, Tulsa Casino. We feel this will bring quite a bit more money. But these are the things we have to put money into. And if everything's going out, we can't do that.
So my response on that would be, and it's probably no different than your all's, coming from a board member perspective, we're burdened with a huge responsibility. So it's managing the debt, because not all debt's bad.
Right.
It's not. Are we concerned that we have a huge debt out there to service? Absolutely. I think the casino management has proven a track record. When you look at the graphs, they're all pretty similar, which is you could say it's lucky, but I would argue that it's good management knowing this. When they give you an estimate of income, what it's going to be pretty close to what you can expect. So my goal as a board member would be to advance the debt as fast as we can, saving dry powder for projects, not be limited by, well, we don't have the money to do that, and at the same time, try to help the nation with reasonable distributions, not managing it to what we think is appropriate, but what we think is prudent business-wise, that we need to protect the casino from all the hands that are sitting there bringing it over here, kind of like what we talked about on the phone. And the importance of the decisions that we're making, things like this that can be overwhelming and seem complex, if you don't do some of these, then you limit potential decisions and opportunities in the future. So I would say keeping our spending under control, the distributions under control, giving us the opportunity to pay down debt when we need to, and fund the projects, because it's highly important that we protect the casino and keep it going well. And I'm always thinking the rainy day's coming, so it means let's guarantee what we're doing. And our bank agreements spell out certain things we need to adhere to, but it's prudent on our part to make sure that we protect it.
Thank you.
What you gonna say something, Mark? So as the board, all the board members are understand this and convinced that this is the way to go.
It would save the nation and us a lot of money.
Not doing it's already cost us a small fortune. We can rectify some of those numbers on there by acting. We don't have to lose all that money. But not doing anything, that's a guarantee.
It's a cost.
And I'm not going to sit here and say we're not going to make a mistake. I mean, but we're all in this together. It's not a we-they concept, and that's what we have to remember. We take our jobs extremely serious, that we've got to pump out enough money to support the programs and the needs of the nation at the same time, keeping this thing alive and breathing and going like it's going. And I would argue it's the only entity that the nation has that's doing anything to contribute. So if we feel a little bit, don't get into the kitchen, don't get into the kitchen, because it's working. It's working. And it's not one person. It's everybody, but it's pros like that guy sitting right over there advising us and educating us, like, okay, you know what, it makes sense, and we're all talking to people. I know four of the different banks in this transaction, and these type of instruments it's critical, but you can see what happens if you don't do it. So the risk is, and I deal with it every day, when someone comes in buying a house, should I lock my rate? Well, I don't know, I don't have the crystal ball, but I can tell you the people wish they were 2 weeks ago, because now their payment's higher. It's no different. If we don't lock in something, not all of it, then with everybody in the world saying rates are going to go up, and the one chart's so flat, right? So flat, odds are they're going to. We all kind of think that. So what's the harm in hedging some of that? And it's a hedge, which means it's a bet. This is a bet.
No, we don't call it a bet.
But it is. I mean, in layman's term.
Gambling.
In layman's term, it is. It's exactly, it is a we think, therefore we do. And that's all this is. And it's an educated...
It's a bet when you don't have the loan behind it. Well, then it's a bet.
True.
That's how it
is. It's, we looked at it from the board's perspective, and we have an expert. I mean, it's just not us doing it. We are, Tim Stike has been in the gaming casino. He's done this for other casinos. So we're just not doing this alone to make the decision, the gaming board or the casino. We are in the business with him to advise and help us move forward. And this is, and also it's up to you to help us move forward. That's why we're here.
Well, I'd like to say this to the board, that we understand we can't keep coming back to you every year and asking $5 more million. And this last time, we were forced to do that because the chief had requested more money than we had, and we had no place to get it. without dipping into the permanent funds, which we're trying to protect. It's all the money we got. So we understand, you know, there's a limit to how many times we can come and pop and ask for some money. So we are aware of that and don't want to do that any more than just have to. So we, in order to approve that, all we got to do is re-enter the bill to approve the waiver of sovereignty.
It's a waiver of sovereign immunity to enter into an ISDA agreement. I think that when we were discussing the resolution, when it was presented and on the table before during a special session, what I was hearing from some of the members was it's unclear who has the final say on this. Some language has been sent over that clarifies that the board is the person that makes the final decision. It's not anything that a CEO by himself or a CFO by themselves is going to decide to do. So the language will actually go into the resolution when it's redrafted.
And you make the final decision as far as going forward with the sovereign immunity, because that's why we need Congress
right.
in order to move forward. No. We are not able to move forward unless you do agree to sovereign immunity. That just makes it all fall apart.
Exactly, and the language is the same. We had the attorney. I had the Attorney General review the language, and it's the same language that was placed into the loan agreement. So it's not a new line. Personally, I was able to be at the Gaming Enterprise Board when he first presented to the board this solution to manage the debt. It made sense to me at the time. I am no financial whiz, but he presented it in a way that I did understand it. I believe that it has a, like Mr. Rivard said, that you know, that this is you're shooting a little bit in the dark, but we are guided by the way the market's moving and what the knowledge we've gained from the financial experts. I think it's a tool. They presented it as a tool that they want to have in their toolbox. It makes sense to me to be able to manage your debt, and I have faith in Mr. Steinke. He's been very open and upfront the way he presents the financials of the enterprise. I have confidence in the executive management team and the board at Gaming. So I think it has a great possibility to be able to save us some money on the debt. Are there fees involved with entering into these hedge products? Yes, there are.
Yes, there. Yep.
And I think the board and Mr. Steinke and the executive management team are going to weigh the outcome of that to enter into these products, and that's not my job. So I'm willing to put the resolution for the waiver of sovereign immunity.
All of our jobs to work together.
And add this language in there. The last time I withdrew it, because I didn't think there was support in Congress to pass it out. So
that brings up a question. How do the four of you, having heard this and it's okay, seeing stuff, how do we get the other members to not go, wait a minute? I mean, because you're not going to sit there and regurgitate this word for word. Is that the job of the committee to make a recommendation to them, and then they go with pretty much what you all say?
The way the process works is I'll file the legislation, and it'll be assigned to this committee. We'll review it again at the committee table. We make a recommendation to Congress, do pass, no action, or do not pass, and we'll send it out to the floor of Congress, and then everybody has a vote. And they'll be able to come to these committees. Every Congress member could be sitting here listening to this presentation right now. And so that's just how we operate as a Congress. I mean, can't make people do things. So here we are. So
I was just going to say, I guess I'm not going to repeat everything, but ditto to what Congresswoman Whitehorn said. I have the added benefit of also being at the original presentation and have seen where you all were going down the path to this point. So Basically everything she just said, and I'm supportive of, and this last document right here is also helpful in that additional language, and I think there was some type of elephant in the room at one point also when, you know, stating that it doesn't give the authority to go run out and borrow more or reborrow or whatever, and that was...
We're not buying any more ranches.
That was a big...
Easy on the ranch.
That was part of it, and it was kind of scary, like, well, what is this, what exactly? And so I'm glad that that's been, you know...
How about the hotel?
Laid to rest, that they didn't give any open ability to do something like that, or clinics, or, you know, whatever may be coming to just kind of run out. And so I'm glad that that's been cleared up, and that's that.
It'll take 7 votes to pass this, and we got 4 here, probably, and I don't think it'll be any problem. I do think it was real helpful for the board to be here to see that you are understand it and are on board for it. The majority of the board's here, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I don't anticipate any problem.
Believe me, we had to really study it to get the full knowledge of what was going on.
It's your, sure. You know, it's your responsibility and yeah. Your tail on the line, so if you're on for it, I'm sure we would be. What do you want to do?
I was just going to make the statement that one of the issues, too, I believe, that was at the table last time for support from Congress is that when it was presented on a special session proclamation, it didn't seem like the executive was behind it. It seemed like he made the statement he had no knowledge of it, so just you guys look at it yourself, and that wasn't how it was presented to me as a sponsor of the legislation. And I believe there was a narrative sent over maybe the next day after those statements were made. And so that made the confidence of Congress go down because...
So you mean what? The executive didn't support it, didn't know about it?
Said he had nobody talk to him
Nobody
about
talked
it.
To him about it. He wasn't aware of what this was. And
well,
so
I would argue, do we have to?
Yeah, because I talked to him about it.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is that no.
Is that required of us to do that? I'm curious.
No, I'm not saying it's required of you to do it, but it was presented to me that way that it was. And when he comes and says that he doesn't know about it, he has to sign the resolution.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like.
Okay. Like.
So, we're all in this together, just as you said. We're all in this together, moving this nation forward, and. When we don't have that confidence level that it hurts. It hurts an initiative to move it forward. So I think that he sent the narrative the next day. It's kind of like, let's move forward to this. I trust this to be a good thing. So that being said, that was one of the issues surrounding it too. And I will get this drafted up and get this put back onto the table. And introduce it tomorrow. Actually, is it before? It's after 3, isn't it? Can't be on first reading yet, can it? Okay. All right. It'll move through, and I think you have the support, like Congressman Supernaw said, of the people sitting here. It helps when you guys come and present things like this to us.
So, are we ready to move on to the next item?
I'm good to go with this. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for coming all the way.
It was my pleasure and privilege.
Try on drafting this.
We do need the board to stay, though. We've got some more items here.
Thank you for your support on that.
I'm glad you came and presented your side or your issues.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
you need
Stanky.
To come and take a tour.
I'll say this to you.
The new casino, it is exquisite.
Yeah, we need an update.
That's probably what we just see. Me.
No, it's all, it looks like something.
It's pulling together.
It's like a dinosaur
out there. Mr. Stanky did a really good job of presenting it the last time, but there were some extenuating circumstances. Like, for instance, the chief said he didn't know anything about it.
Are we still on there?
So anyway, I'm gonna ask the board.
And just before you start, I have about 5 minutes and I've gotta get back on the road to Tulsa, so if I have to get up before y'all finish, I apologize.
If it's not too much, my wife's mother's dying too, so I'd like to get this guy too. So if you have any questions for me, if you do, you know, begin.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll remain.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right.
No, I'll be here. I wouldn't get through some of that.
The language clubs at 5:30.
Well, Stanky's gonna stay in.
No, he's having to get.
He's on.
You're on the road, aren't you?
Are you gonna stay?
Joe's gotta get back to,
Make Joe stay.
Well, I'm running Joe.
Make Joe stay the longest.
We can probably answer some of those, getting the numbers.
You're not allowed to go.
I'm not letting.
No, I'm joking.
Well, anyway, do we need to go into executive session and talk about the projected revenues?
No. Could there be no?
You wanna talk about an open session? Okay, so.
Tim?
No.
I need you just to stay.
Okay.
Mr. Potts was supposed to get us that, email that had the projections in it. I don't know, I don't see it here at the table.
We're gonna talk about specific numbers that gotta go in executive.
We're not gonna talk about it.
Yeah, as we said.
Personally, maybe this might answer your question. When I received.
No more.
The email from, I guess, one of you, was it you that sent the email?
What kind of email?
With the spreadsheet?
No, that was.
No.
Okay, right now, it's hard to get projected because the casinos are in, doing on their budgets and everything.
Oh, okay.
So July the 1st, we'll be able to, but to give a projected revenue at this time is not feasible to do because we're not able to because it's, you know, we haven't finished everything. But on July 1st, according to law, you know, then we can be as pretty close. Is that what the question was?
Well, I don't know if I could give all the details in it, but I'd ask for the projections that you all used to justify building the casino. What had you expected at that time for 18 and 19? And even though it might be in your annual plan, it's 6 months into that, and I didn't know if there'd been some changes in those expectations or not. Especially for the year 2018, we'd have a good read on that by now, I think.
Well, just for 2018, our numbers are published, you know, monthly. They come to our board, and we're tracking pretty well to our budget for this year. And as Mr. Sims said, our budgets are not done for FY19. And this has been it's been a tough budget year because we got the effects of New Tulsa. We're tracking in terms of timing in accordance with what I've witnessed the prior 3 years, because I was hired in March of 15 and they were in the middle of budget season. And then each year I've learned a little bit more and more. But it's too early to tell. For example, this week, we just started aligning the property. We have 117 budget writers. There's 117 people. It's a lot of people that come into play in our budgets. That's why it's so difficult. They're just now doing their capital expenditures right now this week. So, you know, we take every bit of that time because we have to get the numbers together. We have to present to our board in June at the meeting, and then they approve it to submit to you July 1st. The best thing that I can say today is synonymous with what I've said in the past. If there's any piece of paper I keep going back to, and I did this with this whole conversation with the derivatives, is the financial model that was published, and it was actually dated, I think, March 7, 2016. But it was the financial model that was drafted by Bank of Oklahoma, and that's what all parties, at least, it was a 5-year projection, and the further you get away from year one, the cloudier it gets, right? And that's the same stuff we talked about with derivatives, right? So that's when I do CapEx or I do anything else, or I try to figure out what our operating income is going to be or travel distributions, I go back to there first. And then I try to incorporate what I've learned since that was done. That's the, if you're going to try to get a hint for yourselves, that's the first place I would go. Otherwise, there's nothing else that I would go to.
All right. Then the other thing was one of the congresswomen asked for some figures, and then she laughed.
Narrows it
oh,
down.
Oh, and she left. So, oh. I guess we knew who that is, right?
Yeah. We have a statement that's based on budget figures, and we ask that that be updated to actual, because this is talking about the past, except for 218. Yeah, know that exactly. But we got a letter from Mr. Sims said that we had that information and we should do it ourselves, but our budget analyst says he doesn't have that information. So.
You say that, Mark.
I think I know what he's referring to. He's referring to the RSM, which is our internal or external auditor, excuse me. It's called the combined financial report that they publish each fiscal year, September 30. Those numbers that are used to calculate the operating income, which is also our EBITDA for us, it's those two are synonymous. Those numbers, it's basically five or six numbers that you pull off of the RSM reports, and you can arrive at that number. That's kind of what we're saying. If I have to speak to Eli and just show him how to do that, I can do that.
I wish you would, because he doesn't think he can do it.
The numbers are there by line item. It's identifying those line items and just doing the basic math. It's an important number, but
budget to actual is what they're looking for, correct?
Yeah. Well, we publish budget to actual every board meeting.
That's what I see that in your financial statement. So,
and each month that goes by, it gets updated, and obviously in September, it's the whole year.
And maybe that's so fresh on this body's mind because we don't get budget to actual here at the Nation, and we've been trying to work better within this body to do budget to actual. And we're getting better at it.
And not all of you attend the meeting, so if they did, they'd know the numbers.
Thank you.
And also, I've been talking recently with Elizabeth in the Gaming Commission. She had the same question, and I gave her the same answer. I said, here's where you go to get it. It is there. I assume she's been looking at it.
In order for her to go get it, she'd have to go back there each annual report, wouldn't you have that all?
No, or you just go to our board packet at September of each year, and that's your 12 months, because that's the end of the fiscal year, right?
Yeah.
It's right there, budget actuals. It's, you know, there's several reports in that package, and that one's there. It's probably a two-page report.
All right, well, like I said, answer your question. Now, we have a consideration of legislation, but I guess we can release you guys.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have any.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Mark.
We like it when you guys come. Thank you.
I moved to recess so I can.
All right.
I'm out of here.
Yes.
Thank you. If we're getting ready to go on to some more, what is the legislation?
I thought he had what?
He has.
Thanks a lot for the time, you guys.
All right, thanks for coming up here.
Thanks.
Joe?
See you, Joe. Take care.
I'm coming for my tour this
thank
week.
You. Thank you.
Tour next week. Okay?
Yes. You can come see.
Thank you. Certainly
appreciate it. Tell Eli what he needs, sir, will you, please? Tim.
I had to cover the meeting with Rex, so.